Can I go back to England? And in those days, of course, there was an England B team.
Yes.
And I think you captained them as well, didn't you?
I did, against Ireland B, and we won that game. It was very good. It was in, I can't remember who was in that game, to be honest, but we had a good win. It's quite a strong Irish B side, from what I remember. That was, again, great captain, euphoria. The dinner afterwards was held in the outer ring of buildings at Twickenham. You know, you got the main stand building, then you got that outer ring, which you have some restaurants. And all the ladies were in the main bar, if you like, in the central bits, all right? That's what we were told. So halfway through the dinner, we're just getting into the speeches. I'm just about to stand up and do my speech. I suddenly hear a tap on the window, of course, my wife. Good old England RFU. They had closed the bar and turfed all the women out. So here we go. Excuse me, make an apology. I've got to get down from top table. And I get them all ushered in, make sure they get a free drink. Back to top table. It's going to be a very short speech. Well done. All right, great game. Thank you. And that was it. But yeah, England were very traumatic, so I'll tell you. Well, not only the rugby, off the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, life's hard.
But then you moved on to your first England cap, I think, was out in Argentina.
In Argentina, yes, very much so.
Yeah. Tell us about that tour.
Worked hard to get on that one. Not necessarily first choice. It was Simpson from Sale, where people were penciling in. But we worked hard in training. Again, like I did at Gloucester, you prove it in the training. You had Mike Davis, the coach, and in the games, you got to make yourself shine, if you like, and get noticed. There was a couple of things. I remember one of the early training sessions, Mike Davis came to me, and we were doing some line-outs and everything, me being left-handed. Oh, Steve, that looks terrible. You guy was left-hand... forward, shall we say, left hand and left foot forward. So Mike goes, no, it should be left hand and right foot forward. I said, well, I don't feel comfortable doing that, Mr. Coach. It doesn't look right, it's terrible. And I said, Mike, how do you play darts? He put up his right hand and put his right foot forward. He said, point taken, and went off to have a beer. No, it was hard. We did a hell of a lot of work on that tour. And I think the game I got noticed, I think again Mike Davis said we're down on the touch line, a ruck or whatever, and an Argentinian decided to try and come up that way and he got dragged in by my arm, something which, you know, little things like that he noticed. I think Mike Rafter as well, you know, it was doing all the things right and getting noticed, and I got the break and got the caps on that one.
So
I think I remember Stevie Smith saying, I think Andy Simpson, the Sale hooker, had questioned to Steve Smith as to why he hadn't been selected. I think Smithy sort of pointed out, you know, well, who's up the front in the runs at the training, who's doing this, you know, from the forwards point of view, I would have thought, who's doing that? Oh. happy days.
Yeah.
But again, it was hard rugby, hardest rugby I've played out there, I think, scrummaging. Very low scrummaging, as they do now, the big push still, not much striking for the ball. I can remember the one test with the French ref, it was a he came and he said, I don't mind the foot up, I don't mind the not straight, but not together.
And was it an enjoyable tour?
Very much so. There was a lot of Gloucester boys, you know, where Fizz was there and everything, so yeah, we gelled really well. I was thinking of another B team tour to Romania, where we went, had a lot of England players there as well from the club. But it really gelled. More by accident, maybe, because when we flew out to Buenos Aires, we were being hosted out at a old, can you call it, like a sporting ranch or something? Which, in its heyday, I'm sure was excellent, but someone from the England hierarchy, who had probably been there, last time he'd been there, was around 1950, and recommended it. And when we get there was a players' revolt. We're not staying here. It was back in the 1920s more than anything. So we had a players' revolt. We got moved into the Sheraton in the centre of Buenos Aires. But that helped gel everyone together from that very first day, really. You know, thank you, England Rugby. You know, what you've done for us. But no, good game. I mean, you get, you know, what a great player like Hugo Porter for Argentina. It was a joy to watch him, if you like. You know, yeah. He really was excellent player. Yeah, and of course Billy Beaumont there driving everyone on. Billy Bum, one more scrum. I think I got one of his letters. I think it's very good. They write after the tours to you individually and everything. And I think in Billy's letter, it was just, oh yeah, thanks for just the one more scrum all the time or something like that. Yeah, it's good.
And I think you also toured North America with England as well, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yes. Wait.
Well, what
memories
do you have of that tour?
Again, it was a little bit. It was more of a PR thing, more than anything. But it was still hard. It's disconcerting when you're in the line out and the American second row catches it in one hand and shouts out, "What shall I do with it?" And his teammates say, "Throw it." So he throws it to the outside centre. It's a bit disconcerting sometimes. But that's the thing, how they could win their odd games, really. It's just an extraordinary thing, because they do have that great sense of the American football and everything, of picking the ball up, throwing it further than you can kick it sometimes. But, yeah, just out of the ordinary, really. Training, I remember sometimes in New York, where could we train? On the AstroTurf patch on the top of the hotel. You couldn't do much. It was hard work from that point of view, from the logistics and everything, moving around, but it was a good PR exercise, really, and I think we won the games. But
yeah. In terms of your England career after that, you played for England away in Cardiff, didn't you?
Yes, that was good. That's, for once in his life, Mr. Wheeler was injured.
Yes.
So Stevie Boyle was playing as well. So I think Billy James was the hooker that day. It was his first cap as well. Aberavon, I think, Billy James. Great build up to it. Then, you know, you're playing in the old Arms Park as well. They were just starting to do some of the work on it. So I can remember straw bales around sections of it a little bit. But what a great atmosphere in that Arms Park. You know, you've been there on a bench maybe and on the telly, but they can run out on the Arms Park and listen to those Welsh voices. We had a good game, and well, we really should have won, I think. But we didn't. We drew. We didn't lose. We drew.
Yeah, it was 13-all.
13-all. That was always a good sporting question for a good many years. When was the last time England did not lose to Wales? Until we get into this new era of beating Wales consistently. Mm. That was a good sporting question, that one. Another great game. I'm trying to think, it was Colin Smart, I think, was playing. Gary Pearce, I think, as well, if I remember rightly. Mm-hmm. But I can remember we're on the right-hand touch line. Wales put in, Colin Price playing Paul Front Row was playing. We do the wheel, as you're allowed to do then, force him out into the touch. Price went down and buckled. Everyone goes over him twice, just to make sure. But I do believe, I think that might have been Price's last game for Wales, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, great player, great memories.
And then South Africa was your next international.
Yes, yeah. Go over there, there we are. We got the Gloucester front row out of it in that first test. Great honour for the club. I just wish we could have done a little bit more and stayed in for the second one. South Africa were a good side, strong side. I don't think we were well prepared, to be perfectly honest, on that one. It was all a bit hit and miss with the training. I can remember selection for the second test. No one would read the team out. John Scott was captain, was all right. Well, you come with me. Oh, that's the team. But no, there wasn't the confidence to tell the players up front. You know, no one had the guts to do that. Which, you know, you like to be respected.
Yeah.
So again, it sounds like I'm citing England failures all the way along. Yeah.
Well, I don't think you're the first person to suggest it.
No, probably not.
Left to be desired.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then you played, I think, against the RFU Presidents 15.
Yes.
Remember that match?
Yeah, I do, roughly, yeah, very much so. That was, God, who was that? No, I'm trying to think, because they were experimenting a little bit. I know we came off worst, as in the Presidents 15. I'm trying to think, who was the hooker? Was it the Irish hooker? Fitzgerald? Or, no, Colin Deans.
Oh.
Colin Deans. Another great player. But the two props weren't that good on that day. And so we all suffered, really. I was able to scrabble and keep the ball back, but I think I lost two to Colin Deans that day. Yeah, it was a hard work one. I don't like those, ooh, President's 15 against this 15, and let's see how you gel again. With about a day and a half of, Barbarians is different, you know. A couple of afternoons, fine.
Yeah.
But on those type of games, you know, you want to try and make your mark, or at least not let yourself down. That was the name of the game. Yeah. It was hard not to do that sometimes. Yeah, so I would have to read the write ups on that one to bring me to tears, I think.
And how about Australia after that?
After that, yes, that was. Chilcott's first game, Coochie.
Oh.
Yeah, so I remember doing a TV interview with him for HTV down in Bristol, I think, or whatever the TV was for ITV. And I think I remember saying to him, I said, I'd rather be playing with you than against you. So he liked that one. Yeah, we started off well, and then, well, just for the first time in my life, I went into scrummage and I like to think I've been a good scrummager, been able to absorb it, give it back as well. Everything just went wrong, and I got a big hit, and my head just went down. I counted the pops on my neck. I gave up after about five. You could just hear it. I came off. Don Gatherer was the physio. And my wife was up in the crowd, worried. But as it was, no damage was done. And what Don Gatherer, the physio, said, he said, you've had the ultimate manipulation. And to this day, I've had no more neck problems. So, yeah. But I'd like to have completed that game, I would, certainly. That was a big front. That was the start of the year of the big front rows coming in from Australia and everywhere. Yeah. No, I hit it all wrong. My fault on that one. So, yeah. And that really, that was the start of the downward thing for me, really, because I was off injured. I suppose that injury, I haven't picked up many injuries. That one kept me sidelined for a little bit. Yeah, and then you miss games, you're not quite picked, people aren't quite sure. Yeah. I wasn't being selected. Like, I remember South West. I think I was probably out in the Gloucester first 15 later on, and then I remember the South and South West Counties, whoever that organiser was, phoning me up asking me if I wanted to captain South and South West, even though I wasn't in the Gloucester team, you know, they still had faith in me. But I think I saw the writing on the wall, and I always remember, like Berto says, like he says in his book, you know, you go out at the top, you know, never stay down, go out at the top. People can talk about me. I could have taken five off the head against him. Well, they would never know, they never played against me. And I never gave people that opportunity by going back to junior rugby or anything like that. I just flicked the switch, finish. Bit of coaching when Gloucester asked me to, and in those early days of the semi-pro, shall we say, Mike Teague was my name's team manager. So I got the call to come out, help the scrummaging and line outs and everything. But I never played in anger ever since. Since I retired. But I'm sure people will question if I was good enough.
Well, I think, look at your career, were you good enough? It's an easy answer,
yeah.
I think. You mentioned the South and South West there. I think you had three games against the All Blacks with them, didn't you?
Definitely two. Might well have been the three, yeah.
Three.
And I always remember the one where I think we had seven out of the pack, didn't we, against the All Blacks. John Hall, I think, was the Bath player who came in on that one. So again, another great honour for the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, those...
Do you remember any of those games?
I remember my very first All Black game down at Bristol. The All Blacks, look at the Haka. It's not too easy. It depends how you want to take it, but, right, it looks pretty good. I got other worries. I think about line-out calls and stuff like that. I couldn't care less about the Haka. So you're playing, get your first few scrums out of the way and everything. Everything's starting to gel together. And then second or third ruck, I happen to leave my leg outside their side of the ruck. And so, look, you've got 8 forwards, 2 feet each. That's 16 feet times about 6 studs, twice over on the same spot on your thigh. I had a thigh like a sheath of corrugated iron for about 3 weeks. They were very professional at the way they did things.
Yeah.
But I learned you don't leave your leg out their side of a ruck anymore.
We've talked quite a bit about touring abroad, but were there any other parts of the world that rugby has taken you to?
You mentioned Romania.
Romania, that was with the England B Tour.
That was 78, wasn't it?
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And they took half the Gloucester team that had won the Cup.
Moggy and everyone like that went out there.
Jardine, I think.
Yeah. But again, I'm in good old England. Here we go, another grumble. We're at Twickenham doing training. And I think myself and Gordon Sargent were last in... The others had all gone out. We're doing sorting our boots up or whatever. And we see the big wicker crate in the corner with the kit in and everything. Oh, can have a look, as one always does, to see what might be available. And on top of it was the team sheet, for the two games. They weren't going to change the team, which they didn't. So a few of us went out there just for the trip. Yeah. We did make it known later on, and we knew about it. And where did that come from? Yeah. I think it was the hooker that was J.A.G.D. Raphael.
Oh, yes.
Remember? Bectiff Rangers.
Yeah.
Dr. Raphael. I always used to say it's a J.A.G.D. He's got more initials than me, because they did. You know, I'm S.G.F. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But of course, he was on the England bench for a little while as well. So I had to oust him out, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.